7:14. This is Seattle's Morning News. I'm Travis Mayfield in for Dave Ross this morning, along with Mickey Gomez, who's in for Sully, and Colleen O'Brien. Look, after months of gridlock, it appears that Congress may finally take a vote on money for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan. So on the line with us this morning, Washington State Democratic Representative Adam Smith. Representative Smith, let's start with, do you actually think a vote will happen on these multiple bills that could fund foreign aid this weekend?
Yes, we are set. In about 20 minutes, we're going to take a vote on the rule for consideration of those bills. And I think it's 9 amendments that would be to those. And those votes are going to happen tomorrow. So yes, we are set to take that vote.
And is it the amount of money that Democrats have wanted, that supporters of foreign aid have been asking for? Is it the actual plan that the Senate has already said yes to?
Yes, it is. It's really convoluted. The Senate passed it. In the House, what we've done is they passed it as one bill. The House Republican leadership decided to split that one bill into three. So we'll have separate votes on Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And then the House Republicans added a fourth bill, which is mostly a lot of increased sanctions against Iran, but also has a couple other provisions in it, while the TikTok divestiture, for some reason, is included in it as well. But then, in an interesting parliamentary maneuver, after we pass those four bills separately, they merge together. So the Senate will get them as one bill, and the plan is for the Senate to take up that one consolidated bill and pass it early next week and send it to the president so he can sign it and make it law.
There's been a faction of Republicans in the Republican Party trying to tank each one of these votes, and in fact now whispers of trying to push out another speaker, Mike Johnson. Is there any truth to that? And who are these Republicans? It must be frustrating.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of truth to it. I don't know if it's frustrating. Look, it's a democracy. Everyone's got a different opinion. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans don't want to support Ukraine. We get into a lengthy conversation about why. None of it good. But they've decided that they don't support that. The noise you hear in the background, by the way, is the bells telling us about the vote coming up. That's their position. Don't support Ukraine. Now, the thing that has been frustrating is the overwhelming majority of the House, Democrats and a majority of Republicans, for that matter, support the funding. And yet House leadership has refused to give us a vote on it for months and months and months because they have been bowing to the wishes of this small vocal minority that opposes it. And please understand, even, knock on wood, we get this done tomorrow, the Senate gets it done, we have waited way too long. Ukraine is up against a wall right now. Russia has them outgunned by 5-10-1 because the help hasn't gotten there. I hope that the help gets there just in time. But the months that we've waited to do this because House Republican leadership was unwilling to allow the will of the majority to work its will, if you will, has really been costly to Ukraine. Now, if this money will help, hopefully they can get back up. They can, they can blunt the Russian assault and move forward. But the delay, because of the extreme right-wing politics in the Republican Party, has been very costly.
What are your thoughts on the tenuous situation in the Middle East right now, with Israel fighting a war in Gaza, Israel now up against Iran, other players as well? Of course, people always fear the start of a World War III, and I hate to put that phrase out there, but as somebody who has, been in public service for a number of years, decades, what are your thoughts on what we're careening towards?
It's really dangerous, without question. It could go that way very easily if just a couple more mistakes are made. But I'll go ahead and give at least a somewhat optimistic picture on this. Iran doesn't want to go to war with Israel, and Israel doesn't want to go to war with Iran. There are reports this morning about, some explosions in the town in Iran that seem likely to have been an Israeli drone attack. But Israel's not talking about it. Iran's not talking about it. It seems likely neither one wants it to become that public so that some sort of response is needed. And also Hezbollah in Lebanon don't want a war with Israel either. None of this means they couldn't stumble into one, but it gives us a path. You know, a key to that path is, you know, dealing with the Hezbollah situation in Lebanon, giving Israel the security concerns they want, and then crucially, getting a ceasefire and getting more humanitarian aid into Gaza and coming up with a future for the Palestinian people that involves greater self-governance. Now, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, the Arab states, they are deeply invested in this in a way that they haven't been in the past. And the reason for that is because they're afraid of Iran. Saudi Arabia, UAE, all those countries would love to see an agreement with Israel and the U.S., a security agreement to be able to defend against Iran. And that's good for Israel, good for us, good for Saudi Arabia. But it only happens if we can get to peace with the Palestinian people and get them on a path to self-governance. So that's what we're working towards. And if that path happens, I think we can step back from the brink of that wider Middle East war that could, you know, as you said, could possibly create an even larger war.
Wow. Peace with the Palestinians. That has been a goal for decades. How do you get there?
Well, what's changed is the position, well, the Abraham Accords. There's already been, you know, normalization of relations and a peace agreement between UAE, Bahrain, and Morocco and Israel. The big goal was to get Saudi Arabia to sign up to that as well. And the reason that's more possible than it used to be is because, well, two things. One, Saudi Arabia's growing concerns about Iran. And second, because Saudi Arabia's goal is stability in the region. I was actually in Saudi Arabia just a couple weeks ago, met with the Crown Prince, among others. And, you know, Saudi Arabia is trying to grow economically. They're trying to not be so oil dependent. And they know they can't do that if there's instability in the region, which makes them more invested in actually helping to get to a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. It used to be that those states just sort of used that, used the conflict, frankly, as a way to legitimize their own rule. Now they're more interested in stability, and that gives us an opening, a possibility that, you know, the decades of despair on this can change. It's not a guarantee, but it's an opening that I know the Biden administration is really working hard to try to make sure we take advantage of.
We hear that bell ringing. We appreciate your time. Washington State Representative Democrat Adam Smith will let you get to the vote this morning, and then you have a busy weekend ahead. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for giving me the chance. Appreciate it.
All right, 7:22.